A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Picture a store that doesn't know it's a store. No window displays, no impulse. Buy racks by the register, no branding that says you, the consumer, deserve this. Just aisles of things sold by the gross, the case, the pallet, and the only thing between you and 144 rubber ducks is the question of whether you're willing to type in your debit card number. Daniel's been down a rabbit hole and he wants us to join him. The question is, what can an ordinary private individual actually buy, cheaply, from industrial suppliers and wholesalers? These are companies that don't think of themselves as selling to consumers, but absolutely will if you just place the order. No velvet rope, no business license check. And once you know that, a whole category of gloriously stupid and genuinely cheap objects opens up. Things sold by the gross. Industrial quantities of perfectly ordinary items. Specialist tools built for exactly one absurd job. Lab consumables. Catering equipment scaled for a canteen. Safety equipment for hazards you'll never face. One, it has to be affordable. No five-figure machinery. The joke is, it costs far less than you'd expect. Two, it has to be orderable by a normal person with a debit card. Not technically available if you incorporate first.
Oh, this is my kind of topic. The industrial supply world is a parallel retail universe that most people drive past every day without knowing it's there, and the door is just open.
So, where do we start?
With the big three. McMaster Carr, Granger, and Uhlin. These are serious businesses. They supply factories, machine shops, labs, warehouses. Granger does about $17 billion a year in revenue. Uhlin's the box and shipping supply empire. And McMaster Carr is. McMaster Carr is the holy grail. Their website is famously fast, their catalog is famously thick, and their homepage confirms they sell to anyone. No business account required. You create a login with an email, you add things to your cart, you check out.
And what's in the cart is where this gets unhinged.
Let me pull up McMaster Carr right now. I want to get the catalog numbers right because the deadpan product descriptions are half the comedy. Okay, rubber ducks, search rubber duck. You get exactly one result, part number 666T1. The description reads, and I'm quoting, duck, rubber, yellow, 2.5 inch. That's it, no fun bath time companion. No party favor. It's a procurement object. 144 of them for $18.38.
$18 for a gross of rubber ducks. A gross. That's a unit of measure I haven't used since. I don't think I've ever used it. And yet McMaster Carr is ready to sell me one gross of ducks like I'm restocking a carnival.
And the per unit math is beautiful. That's about 13 cents a duck. Go to Amazon, a 12-pack of rubber ducks marketed as party favors runs you $15, $1.25 per duck. McMaster Carr is selling you 12 times as many ducks for $3 more, and they're not even trying to be charming about it.
The lack of charm is the charm. Duck, rubber, yellow, 2.5 inch. It reads like an autopsy report.
That's the thing. These catalogs strip away every layer of marketing that consumer retail wraps around a product. There's no lifestyle photography, no curated suggestions, no customers also bought. Just the thing, its dimensions, its material, and a price that assumes you're buying it because you need it for something, not because you saw it and thought it might spark joy.
And yet sparking joy is exactly what's happening.
Let's stay on McMaster Carr. I'm scrolling through the catalog. Pipe threaders. You can buy a manual pipe threader for $42. It's a tool designed for exactly one job, cutting threads into the end of a pipe. I've never threaded a pipe in my life. I don't own pipe that needs threading, but for $42, I could.
You could become the pipe threading guy, the one person in your neighborhood who, when someone says, "Does anyone have a pipe threader?" you just nod slowly.
And the thing is, it's not a toy. It's a real functional tool built for a trade. The absurdity isn't that the tool is useless, it's that it's extremely useful for a problem you'll never have.
What about lab consumables? Daniel mentioned those.
This is where it gets weird. You can buy laboratory supplies from suppliers like Carolina Biological or even Amazon's industrial arm, but the dedicated lab suppliers are the real source. A case of 500 sterile petri dishes, 90mm polystyrene, runs about $28 from a lab wholesaler. That's enough petri dishes to start a small microbiology operation in your kitchen.
Which you absolutely shouldn't do.
No, you should not. But the fact that you can order them, no credentials check, no what institution are you with, is what's so disorienting. You can buy pipettes. A pack of 500 disposable plastic transfer pipettes is under $15. Beakers, Erlenmeyer flasks, test tubes. All cheap, all available, all described in the flattest possible language.
And suddenly you're a mad scientist with no lab, no training, and 500 petri dishes.
The petri dish is the perfect example because it's an object that, in the consumer world, signals science. You buy a little kit for your kid with 3 petri dishes and some agar, and it's a whole educational product. In the industrial world, it's a disposable commodity. You use it, you throw it away, you open the next one from the case of 500. The scale is the point.
Catering equipment. This is the one I've actually been tempted by.
Oh, restaurant supply is a whole universe. Webstaurant store, Catum, even your local restaurant supply store, most of them are open to the public. You walk in, or you order online, and suddenly you're looking at a 10-gallon stock pot for $60. A 10-gallon stock pot. My largest pot at home is maybe 8 quarts. This is 40 quarts. You could bathe a small dog in it.
You could make stock from an entire cow.
A commercial-grade whisk, the kind that's 3 feet long and made of heavy-gauge stainless steel, is $12. $12. At a kitchen store, a whisk a quarter that size costs $25 and it's got a soft grip handle in a cheerful color. The restaurant whisk has no brand, no color options, no handle ergonomics. It's a whisk for a person who whisks 50 gallons of something a day.
The deadpan extends to the product photography. Have you seen these listings? A stock pot photographed on a white background with nothing for scale. So it just looks like a normal pot until you read the dimensions and realize it's 2 feet across.
And the case quantities. A case of 1,000 plastic spoons. 1,000. For $14. That's 1.4 cents per spoon. You'll never need 1,000 plastic spoons. But now you know you can have them.
The question is whether knowing changes anything. Once you know the 1,000-spoon option exists, the 48-spoon pack at the grocery store feels like you're being robbed.
That's the psychological shift. It's not just about the items, it's about access to a pricing model that wasn't built for you. Wholesale pricing assumes bulk, and bulk assumes a business need. But the suppliers don't enforce that assumption. So you, an individual with a debit card and a mailing address, can slide into that pricing tier. And once you've seen it, consumer retail starts to feel like a tax on not knowing.
Safety equipment. Daniel mentioned hazards you'll never face.
This might be my favorite category because the products are so serious. A chemical splash shield. It's a full-face visor rated for acid splashes. Costs about $18 on McMaster Car. The product description uses phrases like ANSI Z87 Blunt Compliant and indirect venting to reduce fogging. I'm not going to be splashed with acid. I work at a desk.
But if acid does appear, you'll be ready.
I'll be the most prepared person in the room. And that's the fantasy these products sell, even though they're not trying to sell a fantasy at all. A hard hat is $8. Safety goggles with anti-fog coating, $4. A high visibility vest, $6. You can assemble a full PPE kit for under $40, and there's no scenario in your life that requires it.
Unless you start threading pipe.
Which you could, because you bought the pipe threader.
We're building a whole life here. A life where you wear a hard hat in your kitchen, stirring a 10-gallon stock pot with a 3-foot whisk, while 500 petri dishes sit in the cupboard.
And a gross of rubber ducks floating in the stock pot for no reason.
Because the material safety data sheet said it was fine.
Wait, you know about the MSDS.
I'm saying if there's one, I want to see it.
There is. McMaster Car provides material safety data sheets for an enormous range of products. These are documents that detail hazards, handling procedures, first aid measures for a rubber duck. The MSDS for a rubber duck presumably lists things like choking hazard and don't ingest and in case of eye contact, flush with water. It's a document written for workplace safety compliance applied to a tiny yellow bath toy.
That's the whole thing in one document. A safety data sheet for a rubber duck. The industrial world taking a joke completely seriously, which makes the joke funnier than any joke ever could.
And you can frame that. You can order the ducks, wait for the MSDS to arrive, or download it from their website and frame it. It's a piece of conceptual art that costs you $18.38 plus shipping.
Shipping. Let's talk about the gotcha.
This is the part where the industrial supply world reminds you it wasn't built for your one-off rubber duck order. These companies ship from warehouses, often via freight carriers. A $5 item can have $20 shipping because it's coming on a pallet from Ohio. Uline, for instance. Their shipping can be steep for small orders. Granger has physical locations where you can pick up, which helps. McMaster Car is interesting because they don't show you shipping costs at checkout. They bill you after the fact. But in practice, their shipping tends to be reasonable, and they offer free shipping on orders over a certain threshold.
So the move is to batch your absurdity. Don't just order the rubber ducks. Order the ducks, the hard hat, the petri dishes, and the pipe threader all at once. Hit the free shipping minimum with a cart that looks like a prop list for a surrealist film.
And the invoice that arrives is a work of art. Line item 1, duck rubber yellow, 2.5 inch, pack of 144. Line item 2, shield splash chemical, full face. Line item 3, dish petri polystyrene, 90mm, case of 500. No commentary, no judgment, no, you might also like. Just a serious procurement document for a deeply unserious purchase.
The person packing that order in the warehouse has seen everything. They're not fazed. They've packed weirder.
That's almost certainly true. These warehouses ship to machine shops and laboratories and construction sites. A guy in suburban New Jersey ordering one gross of rubber ducks doesn't even register. He's just order number something. Something.
There's something liberating about being completely unremarkable to the system. Amazon knows you. It remembers what you browsed. It suggests things. It tries to build a relationship. McMaster Car doesn't care who you are. It doesn't want a relationship. It wants to ship you 400 O-rings and never think about you again.
And that anonymity is part of the appeal. You're not a customer, you're not a user, you're barely a name on a packing slip. You're just a destination for a box of industrial goods. The transaction is almost purely functional, which makes the absurdity of the contents even more pronounced.
Let's get into some more specific items. I want to build the definitive list.
All right, countdown style. I've been digging through catalogs. Let's start mild and escalate.
Hit me.
Number 1, nitrile gloves. A box of 1,000 for about $22. These are the same gloves doctors and lab techs use. 2 cents a glove. You'll use them for painting or cleaning the bathroom or handling raw chicken, and you'll feel like a professional doing it.
I've done this one. The box under the sink makes me feel competent.
Number 2, the aforementioned rubber ducks. $18.38 for a gross. No further comment needed.
Except that a gross is $144. I still can't get over that.
Number 3, disposable lab coats. A case of 30 polypropylene lab coats for $24. That's 80 cents a coat. You can put one on whenever you need to feel like you're about to make a discovery. Spill coffee on it, throw it away, put on a fresh one. You're a scientist now.
Or a very clean painter.
Number 4, a commercial-grade stainless steel work table. This is creeping up in price, but still absurd for what it is. 48 inches long, 24 inches deep, NSF certified for food prep, $200. That's a prep table built for a restaurant kitchen. You put it in your garage and suddenly your garage is a commissary.
I've looked at these. The same table marketed as a kitchen island at a furniture store is $800.
Because it's been contextualized for you. They put it in a catalog next to bar stools and called it a culinary workstation. The restaurant supply store calls it Table Work Stainless 48x24 and charges $200.
Number 5.
Number 5. A case of 1,000 4-ounce glass jars with lids. $36. That's 3.6 cents per jar. You can now preserve enough jam to supply a farmer's market. You can organize every screw, nail, and paperclip in your home. You can give everyone you know a jar of something for the next 5 years.
Or you can fill one with rubber ducks and put the rest in the basement.
Number 6. A digital pocket scale, 0.1 gram precision, $12. This is the kind of scale that, in a head shop, costs $40 and comes with a knowing look. On McMaster Car, it's just a scale, for weighing things. Accurately.
The lack of subtext is deafening.
Number 7. A 5-gallon bucket of food-grade lubricant. This is where we cross into why would anyone territory. $37 for 5 gallons of a substance described only as lubricant, food-grade, clear, 5-gallon pail. You'll never use 5 gallons of food-grade lubricant. Your grandchildren will inherit this pail.
What do you even lubricate with it?
Food processing equipment, mostly. Conveyor belts, slicers, that sort of thing. In a home context, I don't know. Your stand mixer, I suppose. Using approximately 1/10,000th of the pail.
Number 8. Give me something gloriously specific.
Number 8. A drum deheader. This is a tool designed to remove the lid from a 55-gallon steel drum. It looks like a heavy-duty can opener crossed with a medieval weapon. $41. You don't own a 55-gallon steel drum. But if one shows up, you'll be ready to dehead it.
Dehead isn't a verb I expected to learn today.
Number 9. An emergency eyewash station. This is a wall-mounted unit with two nozzles that spray sterile saline into your eyes. $68. It's designed for laboratories and factories where chemical splashes are a real risk. You can mount it in your bathroom, next to the shower, and every guest who uses that bathroom will have questions.
Is everything okay at home?
Just preparing for the acid that never comes.
Number 10. Bring it home.
Number 10. A gross of kazoos. McMaster Car sells kazoos. Part number 166T2, right next to the rubber ducks, I assume, because they're both in the small yellow objects you didn't expect to find here category. 144 kazoos for $22. The description, kazoo, plastic, yellow, 4-inch.
They're not even trying. Kazoo, plastic, yellow. As if a kazoo is a standard industrial component that a factory might need a gross of.
And that's the question, isn't it? Why does McMaster Car sell kazoos and rubber ducks? The answer is probably that some company somewhere uses them, for testing, for giveaways, for some process that requires a small floating object or a simple noisemaker. But the catalog doesn't explain. It doesn't justify. It just lists them flatly between the O-rings and the pipe fittings.
The catalog is comedy. It's a found art project that updates daily.
And it's not just McMaster Car. Uline sells a portable decontamination shower for $900. That's above our price cap, but the fact that it exists in the same catalog as shipping boxes is remarkable. Granger sells a confined space tripod and winch system for pulling people out of tanks. Webstront Store sells a 30-gallon steam kettle. These are real things, for real purposes, and you can just buy them.
The confined space rescue system is where the humor tips into something else. That's not funny. That's a piece of life-saving equipment, and it's in a catalog next to paper towels.
That's the industrial supply world in a nutshell. It doesn't curate for tone. It doesn't separate the whimsical from the deadly serious. A drum deheader and a defibrillator share shelf space in the same database. The catalog doesn't know what's funny and what's not. It just knows SKUs and warehouse locations.
Which is why the deadpan works. The catalog isn't in on the joke. The joke exists entirely in the gap between the catalog's seriousness and your intentions.
And that gap is where the whole experience lives. When you place an order for a gross of rubber ducks and a chemical splash shield, you're not buying products so much as you're buying a story. The invoice is the artifact. The MSDS for the ducks is the punchline. The box arriving at your door, plain brown cardboard with no branding, is the delivery mechanism for an experience that costs $25 and lasts forever.
The MSDS. I want to circle back to that because it's the perfect object. A material safety data sheet is a document designed for workplace safety. It lists chemical composition, physical properties, health hazards, first aid measures. For a rubber duck, what does it say? Composition, polyvinyl chloride. Hazard, choking. First aid, remove from mouth.
I haven't seen the actual MSDS for the McMaster Car rubber duck, but I desperately want to. I want to know if it lists an auto ignition temperature. I want to know the recommended PPE for handling a rubber duck. Wear safety goggles. Wash hands after use.
In case of eye contact, rubber duck is unlikely to cause irritation. Flush with water anyway, because the form demands it.
And the form is the point. The MSDS exists because somewhere, in some regulatory framework, a rubber duck in an industrial catalog is a material that requires a safety data sheet. The absurdity is generated by compliance. No one sat down and said, let's write a funny document. Someone sat down and said, we're legally required to provide this, so here it is.
That's the whole industrial supply comedy genre. It's not trying to be funny. It's trying to be correct. And correctness applied to the wrong object is inherently hilarious.
I think that's the deeper thing Daniel's getting at. This isn't just a list of funny things to buy. It's about what happens when you strip away the consumer layer, the marketing, the branding, the lifestyle context, and interact with objects purely as objects. A rubber duck in this framework isn't a toy. It's a SKU. It has dimensions, material composition, a unit price, and a safety data sheet. And seeing it that way reveals something about how much of consumer experience is just storytelling.
And how much of that storytelling you're paying for. The consumer rubber duck costs 10 times as much per unit because you're buying the story of the rubber duck. The McMaster car duck is just the duck.
The duck, stripped to its duckness.
Which is philosophical, almost. The platonic duck.
Sold by the gross.
Sold by the gross, with an MSDS. Plato didn't see that coming.
So what does the listener do with all this? I think there are two levels. Level one is, go browse McMaster Car. Just open the website and start searching for ordinary objects. Rubber bands, paper clips, light bulbs, see what comes back. The catalog is a rabbit hole, and the entertainment value alone is worth the time.
Level two is, place an order. Pick something absurd but cheap. A gross of something. A tool for a job you'll never do. Wait for the plain brown box to arrive. Open it. Read the packing slip. Frame the MSDS if there's one. You've just bought an experience that costs less than dinner for two.
And the experience is the point. You're not buying a rubber duck. You're buying the story of the time you bought a gross of rubber ducks from an industrial supplier, and the invoice listed them as duck, rubber, yellow, 2.5 inch, pack of 144.
The invoice is the souvenir.
The ducks are almost incidental.
I've got that invoice.
You what?
Framed. In the hall. Next to the bathroom.
Wait, you actually ordered the rubber ducks.
3 years ago, McMaster Car. Same part number you said. Wanted to see if they'd really ship a gross of rubber ducks to a residential address. They did. Took 2 days.
And you framed the invoice.
And then the MSDS.
You have the MSDS?
4 pages. Section 2 is Hazards Identification. It says, and I'm quoting from memory because I've looked at it a lot. This product is a molded rubber article. No known hazards when used as intended.
When used as intended.
That's the phrase. When used as intended. Which raises the question of what unintended use of a rubber duck would produce a known hazard.
Setting it on fire, presumably.
Section 5 is firefighting measures. It recommends water fog, dry chemical, or carbon dioxide. For a rubber duck.
I need to see this document.
I'll bring it in. The ducks are in a box in the closet. Still got about 130 of them. Gave a few to my niece. She puts them in her bath. She doesn't know they came with a safety data sheet.
The framed MSDS in the hallway. Do guests ask about it?
Sometimes. I tell them it's a duck. They nod and move on. Nobody's ever asked a follow-up question.
That's the strangest part of this whole thing. The document is framed in your hallway and people just accept it.
It looks official. It's in a nice frame. People assume it's a diploma or a certificate. It's not. It's the firefighting measures for a rubber duck.
I think that might be the perfect encapsulation of everything we've been talking about. The deadpan presentation makes the absurdity invisible. It's only funny if you stop and read it.
I stop and read it. Every time I walk past.
Do you own anything else from McMaster Car?
A case of 400 O-rings. I don't know what size. They're in a bag. I've used 3.
What did you use them for?
Nothing important. I just felt like I should use some.
We're going to need to see the O-rings, too.
They're in the garage, next to the drummed header.
You own a drummed header.
I don't want to talk about the drummed header.
I absolutely want to talk about the drummed header.
I said, I don't want to talk about it.
The framed MSDS for a rubber duck is the perfect artifact of this whole phenomenon. A safety document for a bath toy, treated with the same seriousness as a chemical hazard sheet for hydrochloric acid, hanging in a hallway, accepted without question by everyone who sees it. That's the industrial supply world in 4 pages.
And the fact that it lists firefighting measures. For a rubber duck. I can't get past that. someone, somewhere, had to determine the appropriate extinguishing media for burning rubber duck.
Water fog, dry chemical, or carbon dioxide. Which means they ruled out other options. They considered foam and rejected it.
The foam didn't perform well in duck fire testing.
We'll be back soon. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, whose hallway contains wonders we're only beginning to understand.
This has been My Weird Prompts. If you want to tell us about the most absurd thing you found in an industrial catalog, or if you framed an MSDS of your own, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com.
Browse a catalog this week, not to buy anything. Just to see what's there. The entertainment is free. The ducks are extra.
See you tomorrow.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.